Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 7 a.m. on the East Coast. Happy MLK Day. Good morning. I was filling in for John and Hugh. Thomas Mott, Garrett Chapman hanging out with you guys till 10 a.m. here on the East Coast. Quick reminder, coming up at 8:10 a.m., we're doing our National Signing Bonus Contest brought to you by 1-800-TRUCK-WRECK and 1-800-TRUCK-WRECK.com. Be caller number 9 at 8:10, so not 7:10, 8:10. You get about an hour and 7 minutes. We'll give you the cue again coming up later on in this show. And then, of course, we'll go ahead, and whoever is caller number 9, we'll go ahead and be the winner. We'll talk to them on the air a little bit later on this show. Again, National Signing Bonus, 1-800-TRUCK-WRECK and 1-800-TRUCK-WRECK.com. All right, so a lot happened in the National Football League, not just over the weekend, but obviously the past couple of days. Let's discuss all of it and more with our NFL Quick Hits. Are you ready? Let's go. All right, so where do we start in the National Football League? We could start with all the divisional round games, and of course, we broke those down a couple of segments ago. Here's the quick reaction overall. Packers were supposed to beat the Rams. The Rams were super banged up. No surprise there. The Bills were always going to beat the Baltimore Ravens. They're a better overall football team. Lamar Jackson, very average in this game, even though people said he got the monkey off his back last week. Let's just say the monkey is back on his back for this week because, again, he looks different in the postseason. He's great. I mean, he's like a Ferrari in the regular season. Then you watch Lamar Jackson in the postseason, and it feels like you're watching, it's like a very basic, you know, Honda Civic or whatever it is overall. 17-3, Bills win that one. Chiefs had a chance to be upset when Patrick Mahomes went down with a concussion. He's in concussion protocol right now. However, Chad Henne came in, had a great run there on 3rd down and 12, 4th down and 1 completion to Tyreek Hill. They win the football game. Andy Reid, when asked about the 4th and 1 call, he says, quote, "There's no tomorrow. Let's roll." Big Red and the Chiefs will host their third straight AFC title game. And the Bucs, they went into the Superdome 0-2 against the Saints this year. Brady, 2 touchdowns through the air, 1 with his own legs. 4, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4 Saint turnovers. The difference in this one, Drew Brees loses what will be his final game in the New Orleans Saints, not only Superdome uniform, but in an NFL uniform as well. Bucks move on. Brady goes to his 14th, yes, that's not wrong, 14th title game. He went to 13 AFC title games with the Patriots, and now there's number 1 in the NFL. Let's get to some other National League headlines, or NFL headlines, I should say, overall, as there's been a lot of things happening in the National Football League, not happening in the football field, let's just say with head coach hirings. It appears the Buffalo Bills are set to lose their offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, as he, of course, was the, and it continues to be, the mastermind for the Buffalo Bills offense. The problem with is they're going to lose him to, most likely, the L.A. Chargers. The only issue is that news has just been debunked. As I'm seeing right now, after I was preparing to talk about Brian Daboll, I am seeing as of late last night, the Chargers are hiring Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley as their new head coach. Wow, that's why you check Twitter right before your segment. So, I mean, literally all weekend long, We heard that Brian Daboll, the Bills offensive coordinator, was for sure going to be the new Chargers head coach. And then now, according to the NFL Network and NFL.com's Nick Shook, the Chargers have hired Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley as their next head coach. That is interesting. If I'm a Chargers fan, not happy about that. If I'm a Chargers fan this morning, waking up, excited to have the next great offensive mind coaching up what was the great young rookie quarterback and Justin Herbert in 2020, just to switch around and get a defensive coordinator? I guess defense has been an issue for the LA Chargers, but still, not a big fan of that hiring overall, but that makes this segment a little bit easier. I was about to praise the Chargers for getting Brian Daboll, who was supposed to be announced today, although, of course, you can't hire him officially because he's going to continue on to the AFC title game. But now that means there are three, count them, one, two, three, open head coaching jobs in the National Football League left. Detroit, the Texans, and the Philadelphia Eagles are your three openings in the National Football League. Which one would you go to? Serious question. If you had to pick the new head coach of one of those three teams, where would you go? Each of them, massive issues. Detroit, they need a total rebuild. They have absolutely no talent. If you look at the Detroit roster, minus Matthew Stafford and DeAndre Swift, they have nothing. TJ Hockenson, I guess the tight end. Detroit is in full rebuild mode. You got to maybe get a new quarterback, maybe trade away Matt Stafford, who knows. So that is, to me, the least interesting job overall. What about the Texans? Reportedly, Deshaun Watson wants out. So let's assume if you're going to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans, then you're not going to get the superstar quarterback to be the quarterback of the future. Like, you're going to have to trade Deshaun Watson away and start from scratch, which probably means you draft a quarterback at number, well, wait, you don't have the number three overall pick, and so there you go. You want the Texans job? No first-round draft pick, no DeAndre Hopkins, probably no Deshaun Watson. What do you do with that football team? That's not a very intriguing job. And finally, Philadelphia, who, according to multiple sources, interviewed multiple people over the weekend for their head coaching job. They just requested an interview with Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator down with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But apparently last night, they were interviewing Josh McDaniels, the current Patriots offensive coordinator and former Broncos head coach, for their next head coaching job. Now, Philadelphia seems to be the most intriguing and, to me, the most interesting place to go to out of the three remaining spots, Houston, Detroit, and Philly, because Philly has 10 picks in the 2021 NFL draft. They have number six overall. But the problem is you have two quarterbacks, and whenever you have two quarterbacks, it basically means you have no quarterbacks. And I mean, because Carson Wentz reportedly has a fractured relationship with the overall team, they don't know if they want to keep Jalen Hurts or keep Carson Wentz or keep both. Right now, Philadelphia seems to be a mess internally, but at least they have talent on the roster and draft picks. But as you look at the cap space, they have the worst cap situation in the NFL. So take your pick. Again, as of this morning, your three remaining head coach openings are Philadelphia, Detroit, and Houston. And there's a reason why all three remain open and why other people are taking other places and other jobs, including the Chargers, who have officially made their next head coach, Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, meaning, again, three spots remain open. Other NFL headlines here to get you going on your Monday morning. Looks like snow is on the forecast at Lambeau Field for the NFC title game when the Packers host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It will be a high of 28. They are already predicting snow. Right now, it's snowing at 14 degrees in Green Bay. So a classic frozen Lambeau Field with some white and some snow flurries seems to be in the forecast for the NFC title game. It does not appear to seem to be the forecast for the AFC title game, as it will be in Arrowhead. The Chiefs will host the Buffalo Bills. No snow is currently scheduled, according to weather.com, as I am looking at it. However, it will still be in the upper 30s. So obviously a cold championship weekend. We'll have both games here on 92.9, starting with the Bucs on the road at about 3, and then the 6:40 night matchup will go ahead and be the AFC title game, Chiefs and Buffalo Bills. You do wonder, because like Brady did a ton of cold weather AFC title games throughout his career. You remember, you know, hosting the games at Foxborough, on the road at Denver against Peyton Manning, where they played the Baltimore Ravens. Like, he's always been in cold AFC title games. But he's also been in a lot of warm games this past year. He moved to Tampa for a reason and said multiple times he wishes he had moved to Tampa earlier because he loves the warm weather and has been playing in warm weather basically all 17 games, 18 games of his season so far with the Bucs. They have not had a game in sub-freezing temperatures yet. Let me say that again. The Bucs have not had a sub-freezing game in the entire time Tom Brady has been in Tampa Bay. Now, like I said, Brady has been in plenty of those. But you wonder, the old body kind of used to the warm weather. Could they possibly, jump on Brady and the Bucks early as they just come from a very nice and climate-controlled Saints Superdome to going on the road and playing at frozen Lambeau Field. That, to me, is going to be an absolutely fascinating matchup. And the real question is, can the Bucks defense create enough turnovers? Because that seems to be their only shot. It worked against the Saints, four total turnovers, three Drew Brees interceptions, and a fumble recovery. It worked against them, but if you cannot get Aaron Rodgers to turn the football over, it might still be a long day for what is a good Bucks defense, but a young Bucks defense. They got to be able to get turnovers, and that will be the real question of that one here on Sunday. All right, there are your NFL headlines, the NFL quick hits, trying to get you guys up to date on everything going on inside the National Football League. Let's take a quick break, come back, and get into the Arthur Smith discussion. I talked about it a lot on my show on Saturday, but you, the Monday morning listener driving to work right now, didn't get to hear the five most important things that Arthur Smith brings to the Atlanta Falcons. The five big thoughts on the new head coach for Atlanta. Let me tell you this, little hint, they're all good things. I'm very excited for Arthur Smith. I'll explain why next as Ready or Mott filling in for John and Hugh, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, also streaming live right now on your radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, live and local inside the Kia Studios. Happy Martin Luther King Monday as John and Hugh and the rest of the full-time guys are out today. They get the day off, and that means you're stuck with me and Garrett Chapman until 10 a.m. on the East Coast. Coming up here in right about 20 minutes, we're going to jump into an interview with David Walker, editor at the Falcoholic, Falcons beat writer, trying to get some updates on his thoughts, not only on Arthur Smith, but potentially Terry Fontenot, the Saints' director of pro scouting, who could be becoming into maybe even later today, officially announced as the Falcons GM. Not yet officially announced, but could be later today, right? There's no news on this, but hopefully in the next couple of hours they make this official. I would assume it happens today because, you know, you want to lock him up now that he's available to be locked up because the Saints are officially eliminated. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Falcons and obviously where the Falcons go from here with their brand new head coach, potentially their brand new GM, and an offseason with a lot of question marks that include Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and the fourth overall pick. Right now, though, I want to focus in on Arthur Smith, hired on Friday, more like Friday evening whenever they officially made it official. It has a lot of people, I think, excited on Twitter. And when you look at Twitter overall, that doesn't speak for every Falcon fan, and I understand that, but it's a good gauge on how the overall fan base feels about a certain hiring or a draft pick or a game. And I'll just tell you this, Falcons Twitter was very happy with the Arthur Smith hiring, and honestly, so was I. I looked at the Arthur Smith hiring from every angle I possibly could to find something wrong with it. Like, what would be a negative to the Arthur Smith hiring? I can't find anything. Like, I legitimately cannot find anything. And really, I found five good things about hiring Arthur Smith that I want to share with you right now. Number one, listen, 2020, even 2019, you go back to 2018. What is something that the good football teams all have? They all have a smart, bright, young, most of them, minus like Andy Reid, offensive-minded head coach. This is the perfect hiring if you want to fit the offensive-minded head coach coaching mold. 38 years old. He's been the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator for the past 2 years, where he saw the Titans rank fourth in the league in scoring at about 30.7 points per game, and the second best rushing yards per game in the league, only behind Baltimore, and Baltimore has a run-first quarterback in Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of people who wanted to kind of come on, not this station, but just come on their own personal, whether it's a beat writer or it's a host in a different city, and say Eric Bieniemy is the best, quote-unquote, young offensive mind in the National Football League. I disagree. I think you make the case that Arthur Smith is the best non-head coach, offensive coordinator, young coaching mind in the NFL based on his past couple years of not only performance, but success with lesser than Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy has Patrick Mahomes. I honestly believe that you and I could go out there as the quote-unquote offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs and, I don't know, get the Chiefs back to the AFC title game. Patrick Mahomes is just that good. He didn't even need an offensive coordinator. Plus, they have Andy Reid. The only really superstar player the Titans have had on offense is Derrick Henry, which is still, I mean, big time. I'd love him to be here in Atlanta. We get that he makes the Titan offense better, but what he really did, what makes Arthur Smith so special here, young offensive-minded offensive coordinator, now head coach, is that he took Ryan Tannehill, who is very much a non-mobile pocket passer, at least has grown into that in the National Football League. He was let go, left for dead by the Dolphins, signed on as a backup to Marcus Mariota, and he eventually not only led the Titans to the AFC title game last year, but had them win their division this year, and really, a couple of Lamar Jackson runs away from playing Kansas City yesterday in the AFC title game versus, of course, being eliminated by Lamar Jackson. So number one on Arthur Smith, it's a perfect hire in a modern NFL when you want young, offensive-minded guys, they got the best one on the market, and I truly believe and stand by that every day of the week. Number two, we mentioned it was a home run whenever they, of course, had Arthur Smith with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. It's a home run for Matt Ryan. I mean, this literally means Matt Ryan is not going anywhere. If they would have gone out and hired even Brian Daboll, or really, you can make the case, hired Eric Bieniemy, or any of these other offensive-minded head coaches who have experience with young quarterbacks, I would have honestly come on here and said, it feels like Brian Daboll would want to go ahead and draft somebody at number four overall. They instead go with the guy who, again, revitalized the career of a veteran quarterback. And it's not like Matt Ryan's career needs revitalizing. I think it needs tweaking. I think he needs help. He needs a running back. He needs to have better pass protection. And most importantly, he needs good offensive play calling, modern offensive play calling that can take his game to the next level. We saw it yesterday. Tom Brady's 43 years old. Tom Brady can still play in the National Football League. Obviously, he's going to the NFC title game. Aaron Rodgers, what is he, 38? Old quarterbacks can still play as good as young quarterbacks. They just need friendly, quarterback-friendly offenses and offensive play calling to put them in proper situations just to utilize what skill set they still have left at an older age. And obviously, Green Bay does this very, very well. Tennessee had done this very, very well. And I think the Falcons now can do it very, very well with Arthur Smith. Number two, it's a home run, especially for Matt Ryan. If I'm Matt Ryan here on a Monday, this to me gets me super excited and tells me that, hey, we're going to be a lot better this year just in a play calling perspective, because if you watch the Falcons last year, you guys know this, the real issue among a lot of the issues, not just a coaching issue, the more in-depth coaching issue, was Dirk Koetter's offense was as vanilla, as boring, and as unproductive as you see in the National Football League. There were so many scenarios on third and short, even like a third down and five, where they would call these plays that just made no sense. There's no pre-snap motion. There's no trickery. There's nothing that makes the defense scratch their head. And they can just key in on the fact the Falcons couldn't run the football. You just focus in on Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and wait for Matt Ryan to make a mistake, and boom, you beat the Falcons. It was very simple last year. Matt Ryan has got to be feeling very, very good as the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, and I think this further cements that there is no chance they draft Justin Fields at number four. I'm in the minority in that. A lot of people will say that we'll still take a quarterback at four if Justin Fields is available, but I firmly stand by the idea that this was a hire to go squeeze the most you can out of Matt Ryan, meaning Matt Ryan is not only the coach, or sorry, the quarterback this year, I think the quarterback probably in 2022, whether you like it or not. Number three, reasons why I love the Arthur Smith hiring. The running back and the running game are finally going to get their time to shine in Atlanta. They have not had really a star running back since they gave Devontae Freeman too much money. They have not been a prolific rushing team in years. I mean, each of the last, 3 years now, they've been a bottom half of the league in rushing. I mean, this year, worst in the league in yards per game in rushing overall. Signing Todd Gurley was not going to fix it. It never was going to fix it. It was supposed to provide a little bit of a spark. It did at times. I think the offense as a whole just didn't really like to run the football. Now you get a head coach who not only knows what a great running back is, but knows how to create opportunities for a great running back. And I think this clearly means the Falcons are going to go ahead and draft a running back at some point in the 2021 NFL draft. Number four is too early. They take Najee Harris at four. It's ridiculous. I will be very upset if they do that. I will come on here and denounce that pick if they actually do. But if you could somehow, think about this, trade back from four. Let's say go to eight. Detroit comes up from eight. You still get your cornerback in Patrick Surtain, the cornerback out of Alabama. And then you have another first-round draft pick or another second-round draft pick. You package that, move up, and get Najee Harris late in the first round, early in the second round. You're not telling me that would be the ideal Falcons draft. And then you have shutdown corner alongside, obviously, I thought a very good young cornerback they took in A.J. Terrell at 16 overall last year. And then you get an actual running back with a head coach who likes the running game and appreciates the running game, and is a run-first, offensive-minded guy who can then spread you out after he's run the ball down your throat, man, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. There's no way they don't address the running back spot this offseason. I thought they would do that regardless of who was the head coach. But now that you get the head coach of the best rushing football attack, not named Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, in the NFL as your head coach, man, exciting. I cannot believe that we are getting this excited for a running back, but I have not been this excited for a team to draft a running back and to get back to running the football in a very, very long time. If the Falcons become, think about this, a top 10 rushing team in the NFL, you do realize how much better that will make Matt Ryan. The play action game, which was non-existent this year because no defense even thought about selling out for the run against the Falcons ever. If they have a play-action game, goodness gracious, this could be a very good offense. An offense that was already good enough to score 30 points multiple times against pretty decent defenses in the NFL. Number four, my five thoughts on our Arthur Smith hiring here is that the, actually look at it, the Titans' overall offensive personnel, eerily similar to the Falcons. They have a non-mobile pocket-passing quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan. They have a good but not elite offensive line. And again, I think the Titan offensive line was worked a little bit against the Baltimore front four there 2 weeks ago in the wild card round. They have two really good wide receivers. A.J. Brown essentially is Julio Jones light. He's not there yet, but he's built in the same mold. And then you have Corey Davis, who is a little bit taller, but built in the Calvin Ridley mold. They have a good pass-catching tight end. And then they have a running back. Now, the only difference, like we just said, between the Titans' current offense and the Falcons' current offense is the running game. But if you were to put Najee Harris or put Travis Etienne back there as your lead running back, the Titan offense and the Falcon offense are like the same offense. They, like personnel-wise, they're built the same. And they're molded in the same way that you see why Arthur Smith would take this job, because he goes, oh, just plug and play. Like A.J. Brown is Julio Jones. Julio Jones is better than A.J. Brown. Same basic player. Corey Davis, Calvin Ridley. Tight ends, same thing. We just get a running back in there, Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, you just close your eyes, they look the same. And that means it makes it easier for the transition from what was the Arthur Smith offense in Tennessee to now being the Falcons offense here with Arthur Smith as the new head coach. Final thought here, and I said this at the very beginning. It's very simple. Every single Falcons fan should be absolutely thrilled with the Arthur Smith hiring. Look around at the other potential coaches you could have had. Think about this. You could have had Eric Bieniemy. Yes, great name. I think he's going to be hired. I think Philadelphia is going to take a real shot at him. You could have had him. But has he proven to be able to have success without a guy named Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback? No. So there's question marks there. What about Joe Brady? Falcons looked at Joe Brady, 31-year-old offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. Yes, a lot of upside, but much like Eric Bieniemy, when Joe Brady didn't have Joe Burrow and this prolific passing attack at LSU, he had the 17th-ranked offense in Carolina. Now, Carolina had plenty of issues this year. I think Joe Brady can be a good offensive head coach in the National Football League eventually, but Arthur Smith's a better hire than that. You could have gone for Robert Saleh, yes, a great defensive-minded head coach, a great players guy with the San Francisco 49ers, now the Jets head coach. But do you really want a defensive-minded guy in the modern NFL? Like, how many defensive-minded head coaches are there left in the National Football League? I guess you could say Bill Belichick is one. If I'm thinking off the top of my head, you know, now make Robert Saleh. Go ahead and make that two. And then is there another defensive-minded guy? I guess Vic Fangio, of course, defensive coordinator now with the Denver Broncos. How did that work out? It's not a defenses league. I mean, literally, each of these games that we saw yesterday, or I should say half of the games we saw yesterday, had 30 points by the winning team. 30 by the Packers, 30 by the Bucks. The Chiefs would have had 30 had Mahomes stayed in there. And the Bills, you know, 17 points, so the Bills are the one exception there. But it's an offensive-minded league. It's an offensive game, and I would much rather be scoring 30 points week in and week out than holding teams under 20 points week in and week out, because guess what? It's tough to hold people under 20 points in the National Football League, regardless of how great your defense is and regardless of how great your defensive-minded coach is. Every single Falcons fan should be absolutely thrilled. If you're out there and you're not, I can't figure it out, because I looked at it, and I tried to figure out why you would not be happy with Arthur Smith being hiring, and even the other guys you could have had instead of Arthur Smith, to me, would not have fit as well as he does with the Atlanta Falcons. All right, coming up here in about 6 minutes, we'll take a break, and we're going to go out to the wadeford.com hotline and bring in David Walker, editor at The Falcoholic, one of my favorite people to talk about the Falcons. We'll get his perspective on the hiring of Arthur Smith and the future of the Atlanta Falcons going into what is a very interesting, a very pivotal, and a very exciting 2021 offseason. Give me a follow on Twitter, at Real Thomas Mott, right now. Of course, stay tuned. We're going to come back here in about 6 minutes and jump into this Falcoholic interview with David Walker. As Ready or Mott, filling in for John and Hugh, rolls on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back inside the Kia Studios, Thomas Mott in for John and Hugh on your Martin Luther King Monday. Hopefully you guys are having a great and warm Monday morning, because it is freezing outside. Coming up here in, say, about 30 minutes, we're going to be doing our 1-800-TRUCK-WRECK National Signing Bonus Contest. You got to be the ninth caller at 8:10. So you got to wait, but at 8:10, we'll open the phone lines up. I'll give you a reminder, so just stay tuned, and then the ninth caller will go ahead and be the winner. That's coming up again in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, though, we need to go out to the wadeford.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and bring in David Walker, editor at The Falcoholic. Talk some Atlanta Falcons. David, good morning. How are you doing?
Good, Thomas. Good to be with you.
I appreciate you coming on. We have not talked in a couple weeks, and so I think we just need to jump right into Arthur Smith. I want your thoughts overall on Smith, but more specifically, do you have any concerns with Arthur Smith? Because I've looked at it from every single angle, and I see nothing wrong. I think he fits well with Matt Ryan. He fits well from an offensive play calling standpoint, and he gets a focus back on the running game. So I, for one, A+, great hire. Do you have any concerns with it, or do you like it?
Yeah, the only concern I've seen is that he hasn't been a head coach before, which, honestly, in the NFL, if you're hiring a former head coach, that means that they got fired from somewhere else. So, no, I have no concerns. They're bringing in, honestly, one of the hottest candidates of this coaching cycle. He arguably has, you know, the next best resume, if you will, next to Eric Bieniemy, who many people think is the best offensive-minded coach in this coaching cycle. But he's got a ton of experience. You know, he's been with the Titans for 10 years. He has run a top-notch offense. He's made Ryan Tannehill look like a Pro Bowl quarterback, which is a near miracle in itself. So, yeah, I think this is a fantastic hire for the Falcons. I'm glad they've finally gone back to the offensive side of the ball, though.
I think the offensive side of this overall, I agree, is one of the most exciting things that we have seen. What does this mean for Matt Ryan? I've said, even just as early as last segment, this clearly means Matt Ryan is the quarterback in 2021. I think they're trying to maximize what they can get out of him, get the most out of Matt Ryan, who, of course, is still signed on for a couple more years with that massive contract. There's no doubt in your mind, right, that this is clearly a pro-Matt Ryan hiring.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Matt Ryan in this offense would prosper. You know, we saw it in 2016 through 2018. Before they bought Dirk Cutter back, this is the kind of offense that Matt Ryan will have his best statistical seasons under. Likewise, you know, just from a practical standpoint, even if you draft one of the young quarterbacks, I think it's in your best interest to continue to play Ryan in 2021. Right now, arguably, his trade stock is as low as it could get. If you can have him as your quarterback in 2021, you know, even if you draft a rookie, sit him on the bench for a year, have Ryan have another big season, you increase the likelihood that if you do want to move on, if you do want to get some trade value out of him, that you will maximize it by putting him in an offense where he has excelled the most.
What would you do at number four if Justin Fields is available? You mentioned if they were to draft a young quarterback, you would still sit him behind Matt Ryan, and I agree. First off, I don't think Justin Fields will be there at number four. I think someone takes him at two or three. But let's just say Falcons are on the clock. They have not moved up. Fourth overall pick, and Justin Fields is still on the board. David Walker is the new GM of the Falcons. Does David Walker take Justin Fields?
If he's there, yes. Okay. And it pains me to say that. I'm a big Matt Ryan fan. I've loved him in the franchise. But it is rare for the Falcons to be in this type of position. The last time they were in the top five was 2008 when they took Matt Ryan. So I think you have to consider it. You know, the future of this franchise is not going to be Matt Ryan. You know, he's got arguably 3 to 5 years of quality play left, you know, before he gets into that age 40 bracket where, you know, we saw last night what that can look like. So I really think you have to put strong consideration if one of the top quarterbacks on the board is there and available, knowing that you can sit him for a year, let him get the feel of the game the way that Aaron Rodgers had to sit behind a Hall of Famer, and then give yourself the opportunity to increase Matt Ryan's trade stock before you send him off.
Would you even consider trading up? If you're sold on Justin Fields, you just said you would stay put at four and take him. But if there was a package with the Jets that you wanted to go up to number two, or if the Dolphins are there at three and you knew someone else was going to try to come ahead of you at four, would you be trying to trade up, or would you kind of be like, hey, if he falls to us, great, we'll take him, but we're not going to give away extra draft capital to go ahead and move up to get him?
Yeah, no, at this point, I wouldn't give up any draft capital, and it's for the simple reason that this franchise does have a lot of holes on it. I mean, if you look at the defensive side of the ball, we are very, very shallow at both defensive end and potentially at safety. You know, if you look at the cap, there's a good chance that guys like Ricardo Allen aren't going to be back. DeMonte KZ probably will not be back. And then do you make a move to keep Keanu Neal? Otherwise, you're going to have one safety on the roster. So I think there's way too many holes to consider giving up draft capital. But if the player falls to you, that's a completely different story. But I certainly right now in a position that the Falcons are in would not give up any draft capital to make a move.
Talking to David Walker, editor at The Falcoholic right now, live on the waitfor.com hotline. David, I've asked you this question on my normal Saturday show and even going back to the late night shows for months and months and months. Running back. To me, I've never been high on drafting a running back early in the first round. I wouldn't do it at number four. It's very clear that that doesn't pan out long term. Zeke Elliott worked for the short term. Now Zeke Elliott is dead weight and a ton of cap for the Dallas Cowboys. But let's just say sitting there at 36 overall, your second round draft pick, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, I would do that in a heartbeat just because, I mean, not just, I mean, really because Arthur Smith loves what he's done with Derrick Henry, but just because the pressure it would take off of Matt Ryan to have a legit rushing threat would be huge. Would you spend a second round draft pick on a running back like I would, or is that still too high?
I would, it would depend on who they get in the first round. You know, if they do go with the quarterback, I would be a little bit hesitant to go offense in two straight rounds. That said, if they are able to get someone, you know, for the trenches or someone on the defensive side of the ball in the first round, yes, 100%. Now sign me up for a Najee Harris or a Travis Etienne in the second round. As you mentioned, you know, it's going to take a lot of the pressure off of Matt Ryan. Likewise, you know, the Falcons are going to be moving on from Todd Gurley this year. You know, there's a big question mark if they really want to turn to Brian Hill and Ito Smith as, you know, the primary ball carriers in 2021. I don't think either of those guys are intended to be a number one back. So it is a hole on the roster, and I do think that one of those guys could be a big difference maker in just one year, their first year. You know, running back has an easy transition into the NFL of all the positions. So a guy like Harris, a guy like Etienne could come in and be productive immediately.
Let's move over to some other teams in our division, most notably the two teams that played last night in the NFL divisional round in the NFC. Looks like Drew Brees is going to retire. Didn't officially announce it yesterday, although Fox Sports' Jake Glazer essentially broke it right before the game went live. We all expect Drew Brees to go ahead and retire at the age of 42. Your outlook on the Saints from a Falcons writer's perspective next year is what? You see just a Jameis Winston being kind of plug and play in there with the Saints offense and defense remaining the same? Or do you see the Saints maybe taking a step back the next couple of years and losing potentially Terry Fontenot to Atlanta, which we haven't talked about yet in this interview?
Yeah, they're a big wild card, and mainly because of their insane salary cap position. They're going to be almost $90 million over the salary cap to start 2021. So that puts them in a precarious position where they're going to have to readjust a ton of contracts or cut a bunch of guys. That said, really, if you look at that team and what's gotten them this far, it's been their rebuilt defense. And I think that's going to continue to be a strength for them. It's arguable whether going from Brees to Winston is right now a big downgrade. I think they can still be competitive, but they've got some massive issues to deal with. And, you know, as you mentioned, if they're losing Fontenot, they could be a little bit shorthand in that front office when they're trying to make all these moves.
How do you view Fontenot? I think it's hard to kind of gauge the future success of a guy who's never been a GM, but that's normally how it works in the National Football League. You hire somebody who is a director of college scouting, a director of player personnel, and then you hope they turn out to be a good GM. My take on Fontenot is he's had some good draft class there in New Orleans, especially 2016 and 2017. The year they got Kamara was a really good draft class. Yeah, decent the past couple of years, but 3 years ago, really, really good. Are you very excited about Fontenot? Kind of excited about him? Maybe not excited at all? Where are you at on potentially the Falcons' new GM here in the next couple of days?
Well, as you said, GM is really, really difficult to figure out, you know, more so than a head coach. That said, the one thing I do like about the Saints drafting and their organization that has been decidedly different from what we saw in the Thomas Dimitroff era was their focus on the trenches. They have, even when they've had an offensive line that has been top ranked, they continue to grab offensive talent for that offensive line. And they've made sure that Drew Brees has played behind a top five, top 10 offensive line almost his entire time in New Orleans. So if you see them bring that philosophy over into the Falcons, where they focus on the trenches in a way that, you know, honestly, Dimitroff never did. He loved grabbing skill players in the first round. If you see them start to focus on offensive line and defensive line as a draft strategy, I am 100% on board with that. And I hope that that's what Fontenot brings. And if he follows what they did in New Orleans, that could be a good sign for Atlanta.
We expect that hopefully to be announced. I mean, it could be even as early as today. Brady knocking out Breeze and the Saints organization kind of benefits the Falcons. That way they can officially make the Fontenot hiring official if they are going to, which is just a rumor and a report as of right now. We'll keep you guys updated on that. David, we are out of time. I appreciate you coming on at FalcoholicDW on Twitter. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully with a new not only head coach, which we have, but new GM.
Absolutely. Thanks, Thomas.
Always appreciate David. Great job there. Again, follow him at FalcoholicDW on Twitter and always read great stuff. TheFalcoholic.com does an excellent job keeping you up to date on the latest Falcons news and rumors. My go-to website to go ahead and get updated on the Falcons. Again, I would expect the Fontenot hiring to be announced today. You saw, obviously, when the Rams lost on Saturday. 2 days later, they lost their defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. He is now the Chargers' new head coach. That became official late last night, early this morning. So, in theory, the Falcons have their new GM today, maybe tomorrow if it takes a little bit of time, but hopefully it's going to happen here soon. That way they can get to work on getting this roster back into the postseason in 2021. Okay, quick break. We'll come back, roll to the top of the hour. We're going to get into the divisional round games and look forward to the AFC and NFC title games, as well as our national signing bonus coming up at 8:10. Stay tuned for that and more details on when to call in as Ready or Mott filling in for John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.